And you are listening to the Law and Gospel program on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Thursday, August the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And as you know, normally on Thursdays, we have Rumination Thursday with our good co-host, Pastor Wes Reimnitz. But we had him yesterday because he had to take someone to the airport today. So, unfortunately, we have another guest by the name of Chris Ann Brunsman. Hi, Chris Ann.
Hi, Pastor Tom. How's it going?
I'm doing very good. I'm glad to see that you got here on time.
Barely.
Chris Ann was a former member of mine at St. James Evangelical Lutheran Church in University City, and she went to California and has become involved in the movie industry there. And every now and then she comes back because her mom lives here, right?
That's correct. Yes. Oh, and you guys are here.
You guys. Oh, yeah, me and Louise. Yeah, I was talking to Louise not long ago about a conversation you had with me, and you said that you wanted me to marry you, and I told you I'm already married to Louise, so.
That's true. Yeah, I said that.
Yes, but I think what you meant is you wanted me to do the wedding.
Yes.
That's correct.
The imaginary wedding that I...
Yes, the imaginary wedding.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, I can understand that you go out with a lot of fellas, but then once they get to know you, they're not going to ask to marry. But that's another subject. One of the things that I just really appreciated you doing when you were in California, and you still are there mainly, you said that you were doing a movie, but you weren't too happy with it. So can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, no, I think the script was really good in the beginning. Like, the idea of the story was good. And movies are always about the story. So, you know, you have writers that put something together and you get really excited about it. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to what the real story is and the writing around the story. And it doesn't matter how talented the actors are or what kind of crew you have or any of those things. If the story is not there, you don't have a great movie. So we had, like, an interesting, simple story. But a lot of the... the writing, in my opinion at the time, was not speaking the truth of law and gospel. It was more evangelical or...
Decision theology. Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, when you mentioned that to the writer, she understood exactly what you meant about law and gospel, right?
No.
So what did you do?
I called Pastor Tom and said, "Help, what do I do?" Because I'm talking to all the, you know, it was kind of like a boys' school. There was no women, or I was the only girl. I was originally hired, as normal actors are, just as a gun for hire. You come in, you get to do a part. But I was friends with the writers and the directors and the producers, and I had met them at Sundance years before. And so when I actually shot the movie, we went to do pickup shots and things like that. And I saw the whole thing put together. It just was lacking in so many ways. And I tried to communicate to them, and eventually they understood. And then we just needed direction to try to make it better and really put the right words in there to speak to people.
So we actually came down for a weekend and spoke with those folks. And what was the result?
I think that in the beginning it was challenging to hear, and I think that there was a lot of information to grasp, being that, you know, we had already shot the movie.
Yes. Yeah, part of it.
Yeah, we had shot the whole movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then to try to take a movie and either redo it the way you really want to do it,
yeah,
which is another movie,
mm-hmm,
or take the movie and try to shoot half of it over and then marry those scenes together a year later, which is what we ended up doing.
Wow.
So it's definitely watchable, and it's got a lot of great theology. It's not the best movie in the world. We learned a lot. It took us 4 years to make that film.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we learned a lot about sound quality and all of these things later, because you run out of money the second time around.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's called One Hit from Home. And it is available. I've seen it at Walmart and other places. What was the hope that how many you would try and sell, and how many have you?
Well, you know, we had lots of interesting ideas in the beginning. We thought, you know, oh, we're going to win, you know, awards at Sundance and everything. But when you write a script and then you shoot a script and then you edit the movie, it's a different movie than when it started out with. And that's true for everything, unless you're Clint Eastwood and you're, you know, perfect, right. Which he's pretty close to perfect. You don't get more perfect than Clint Eastwood. Then it's just a completely different film. So,
but how many have you sold?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. We sold a ton. We have a relationship with Netflix, so we were in Netflix for a really long time. It was one of the top movies in Netflix because it's hard to find family films, you know, that are watchable and have some, you know. And I personally think it's an okay movie. For some people, it's changed their life. For other people, it's hard to watch. If you know me and you watch the movie, you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah,
because my voice is weird on there because the sound is funky. But if you don't know me, you're like, eh.
Yeah, if you want to know what Chris Ann looks like, you can go to One Hit From Home. Just Google it. And she's the primary actress with her two good buddies. And it's kind of like about a baseball player who becomes injured, can't continue to play baseball, and he gets angry in a bar, and the judge tells him because he was in a fight in a bar, he has a choice of going to jail or kind of coaching a baseball team on a college. And, of course, he chooses the latter. And so it's really kind of interesting. After I met with you, you had said things had changed. So when I first got the copy, I just sat in my chair and I started watching it because I'm not going to sell something that isn't of a Lutheran theology. But not only was it really good Lutheran theology, but the most important part was when he had gone to a church and he was talking to the pastor. And I kind of know that pastor a bit. He's not Lutheran. He's kind of a decision theology type pastor. And he asked him in the movie what he had to do, you know, to get Jesus with him, etc. And the answer was he had to do nothing, that Jesus did everything. And to me, that as soon as I saw that, I think I ordered 800 copies. And they're all gone.
And, you know, that's the interesting thing, too, is I think because when we shot that scene, I don't think they realized what they had
done.
And done. That's yes. Right. What they had grasped.
Yes.
You know, and I think they changed the lines. I think we shot that many times. And I think that was a really challenging day when we shot in the church that day, I remember. And, you know, we had a hard time with a lot of the actors and we had to keep doing reshoots and things like that. And it somehow ended up okay.
It was beautiful. I tell you, I keep telling families, especially if they have teenagers, our kids at college. This is a great movie to watch, and many people have bought it just for that purpose. Youth groups. I still think you ought to be marketing it, like giving in the churches to sell to the members and things like that.
We have all kinds of ideas, and we have a few projects I'm helping the guys work on at some point this fall and next year, and they're all Christian movies, and we're really excited about it, and I'm hoping to help them a little bit on that. They're really leading the way with that. We learned so much from shooting this movie. We learned all about politics and how to do everything a lot better. Since, you know, 4 years teaches you a lot about how to shoot a movie and do it right.
Yeah, every now and then the writer emails me. Her name was Mary Louise.
Well, she is one of the writers.
Yes, yeah, one of the writers.
On the second version of the
film. Oh, yes, yes. And she was one that was really quite changed. With
yes.
The law and gospel point of view.
Yeah.
And the reason that was so exciting to me is you were the only Lutheran among them.
Yep.
Yes. Which is not unusual in California.
Well, the original two writers I met in Sundance, when I met them in Sundance, they were there and they had shot a horror film.
Oh, yeah.
And they weren't Christian at all.
Yes.
And I remember with the lead actor in the film and the one of the writers, Dave, I sat down with him in Sundance and we over a lovely Sundance beer and talked about, I was using all of your words, Christianity. And he was like, oh, and then that was it. And then 6 months later, he called me and he was going to church. And I don't think it had anything to do with me, but you just never know.
Well, it had to do with the Holy Spirit.
Somebody. Yeah.
And it did have to do with you because once you spread the word, it doesn't return empty. So how much you were influential, we won't know till we get to heaven.
Well, he's an amazing guy, and he's doing so many great things now, way more than I could have ever imagined, way more than I've ever even thought to do in the world. And he's really special. So
So you're getting ready for the second one, and I guess I'll have to come down that weekend to it. No, I really appreciate it because my name is in the credits.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just really surprised to see that. But what I really want to talk about right now, yesterday we were talking about witnessing and how to witness best to people. And we've used Bible verses, we've used the creed, we've used hymns. Yesterday we used the liturgy, the corporate confession of faith. Just by going through that, that's a wonderful witness that we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. There's no way we can save ourselves, and it's totally by the grace of God. Now, the folks that you hang around with, especially in the Hollywood scene and such, they really haven't heard or understood law and gospel, have they?
You know, if you are a regular citizen of California, you see evangelical things and, you know, murmurs of Christianity on all the cable TV stations. There are a lot of Christian people in Los Angeles, believe it or not. But there's also many, many people who are not, mostly who are not. And so those are most of the people that you meet.
Yes.
You know, there's, I don't want to say there's not Christians out there, because there absolutely is a ton of great people. But there's also a lot of lost people and people that live in the world. And it's challenging to come alongside them and
witness to them.
Yeah. And some people aren't ready to be witnessed to. So you just have to lead by example, and then you make your own mistakes. So that's challenging too. And some people aren't ready to hear things, or maybe they are. And so you think about how you're supposed to plant seeds, and then did I really say the right thing? And, you know, it's hard, because then a year later and you see them and they're in the same place they were before, and you think, wow, maybe I could have done something differently. Maybe I should. I'm plagued with guilt with someone I met a couple months ago that I wish I would have worked harder at helping him, you know.
What you need to do is share with us the concept of witnessing. What kinds of things do you try and get across to them, or does it depend on the situation?
I think it depends on the situation, but I think once you become friends with me, you see some of the things that I say and the way that I act. And believe me, I don't do anything right. I'm not saying that. But there's things that I believe, and I believe in honor, and I believe in telling the truth all the time and things like that. And when you're around me, it's surprising for people who don't behave that way. And so they say, what is that about? And I think part of it is just me and my mother growing up, and I have the best mom in the world. Where, you know, I'm my mother's daughter. And then the other reason is because of God. I mean, absolutely. There's no question. And so where does that come from? And so then I explain that, and then they hear that and they go, oh, okay. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yeah.
And then they throw out all the questions. Well, don't you believe in evolution? Like, hasn't science proved everything at this point?
Right.
You know, with the Bible so old, like, of course they would say that back then. Why does it say that they cut someone's hand off? Like, how is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. And so having interesting responses to those and being able to answer those questions that surprise people right off the bat,
yes,
is the challenge, because they're either one, they've never heard the truth,
right,
or two, they just don't get it.
No. The Corinthians passage says that the natural man cannot understand. It has to be through the Holy Spirit that he comes to an understanding. But the way you do that is Romans 10. They came to faith by hearing the word. So the word never is understood. Even the apostles, with Jesus for 3 years, when he got crucified, they all ran away. Even though it was so obvious from the Old Testament that that's how he was to die.
Well, and you know, like last night I was on Twitter, and I was trying to look up all these Christian quotes that would help me explain certain things.
Yes.
And it's hard.
Because why?
Because so many of them, you know, you can Google like most popular Christian quotes. It's so hard to put those in a context that people can relate to today and understand what that means. And
can you give an example? Maybe one you thought of or read about? Or
there's so many. Goodness is it's great to be good, but goodness, being good is the enemy of great. What does that mean? Where does that come from? Is that you know, James 1:22, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean? Is that our version of that, or is it somebody else's version? You know.
One of the things I find is when people, in fact, tell me your favorite Bible verse, and I'll show you how this works.
I have so many.
I know. Just pick one. Doesn't matter.
Oh, I can tell you my favorite sentence.
Go ahead.
I might say all of them. I mean, for the joy that was set before him. I love that because I always talk to people about that when someone passes away, because that to me is the most important verse in the whole Bible.
That's in Hebrews.
Yes.
For the joy that's set before him, yeah. Despise the shame with
yes.
the way of the cross.
Because every time I feel sad or depressed,
yes.
or anything in the world, I realize that I have to take my emotion out of it and have an attitude. So if God's walking to die for people who hated him and people who mistreated him and made him feel horrible,
right.
and everything else, because I have people that have done that to me, how do you love them? And how do you want to die for them? And that's an attitude. That's a decision. And that to me is impossible. So...
what I want to point out, every time I ask that question to a Christian, what is your favorite Bible verse? Nobody ever says, oh, I just love thou shalt not kill. That is just so helpful for me. They always say a gospel, namely with
because
a promise.
Because it's a promise.
That's right. Very
right.
good.
Right.
Yes. Nobody has anything but a promise as their favorite Bible
well,
verse.
Well, and you know, I think it's hard to understand promises because we use our life experience to define
That's
how
good.
We feel.
That's right.
And it's hard because then you have to walk in faith. Well, I know God promises this is going to happen, or these are the promises and I can trust it no matter what. He said it settles it, blah, blah. But in my life and all these experiences, where does that show up?
Yes.
And that's what you have to explain to people, and that's what you even have to live with, right? So I've developed an attitude of I'm just going to be grateful. I'm just grateful for everything all the time.
Yes.
But things do go wrong. People do hurt you.
From a human point of view.
From a human point of view. That's right.
What was probably the worst day in history?
Well, there's many worst days in history, but obviously the day that Christ was crucified.
But what do we call that day? It's Monday, Thursday, then it's...
Good Friday. I call it Scary Church.
You call it what?
Scary Church.
Scary Church.
That's because...
I don't think we're going to change the liturgy.
That's because when we would have it at St. James, which is Pastor Tom's church that he retired from, all the lights would be out and we'd have all the candles.
That's right.
And for me, it was really sad.
Yes.
It was sad, even though it was Good Friday, because I'm a really emotional girl.
Yeah. Oh, really? I hadn't noticed.
Yes. It's very hard for me because I am very sensitive and I care about everybody I meet.
Yes.
So when I really care about people, I really care about them and I am 100% in. So.
But see, the disciples never would have referred to that at that time as Good Friday. They had fled from Jesus
right.
except for John.
Right.
But the point I'm making is what you just said, is that even though evil seems to be around us and things aren't working out, you still have faith, which means you trust without any evidence. That Jesus, for example, says he never leaves you nor forsakes you. All things work together for your good. Never give a temptation beyond what you're able to endure. Those are promises that he never lies about, but in our lives, it's difficult at times to see them coming true. And so we have to just rely on his promises. It's a distinction between living by sight, which means we live by our experience. That's called the theologian of self-glory, or the theologian of the cross that lives by the promises of God. Is that different?
Mm-hmm.
And apart from the gospel, there really is no comfort in this world.
There absolutely is no comfort.
Yes.
Because then you're just, everything's about what you do and how you overcome.
That's right. And unfortunately, even among many Christian churches, and I'm sure it's true also in California, that are not Lutheran, that's what their sermons are really about. How you can use the grace of God to change your life, to improve your life, to make you a better person, and this sort of thing, which really takes away the comfort of the gospel, because then the burden is back on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that there are a lot of people under that burden. I know they have questions about the Bible, but remember what Paul says, we preach Christ crucified in him. And I think what you just said, that even after all that has happened to Jesus, he still was willing to die on the cross for you.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
So I saw one of the many Twitter quotes last night.
Yep.
Was that God doesn't change you. God doesn't change things. He changes you and gives you the power to change things. What do you think about that? Because, you know, we always say, oh, God could change anything in a second. Like, hello, he created the whole world blah, blah, blah. So, you know.
I like the first part. He doesn't change things.
Because at the end of the day, if you're having a really bad day, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, it is still up to you. You can, you know, you read the Bible, you read the verses. What do I do with this information?
Yes.
How do I change my life? I mean, how do I move forward with whatever I'm dealing with?
Yes.
And I think that's the issue everybody has, because you can say I can be positive till the cows come home, but what does that mean?
The part I have problem with is I like the idea of changing you. What he really changes is your perspective on reality, because through faith, things look totally different. But he doesn't give any promise that therefore through your change, you can change things. Mm-hmm. Because if you say that's a promise from God, what happens to those people who try really hard in certain areas and nothing ever changes? Then they think they don't have enough faith. And so you can't put them in that situation.
Or it's not true.
Or the promise isn't true.
That's right.
Which is good, because the promise isn't true. God does change people, but it doesn't mean it. When people say that, they think, oh boy, now I'm not going to sin anymore. Now things are going to work out. It's called the prosperity gospel.
Right.
And there's no promise about that at all. About the only promise that God gives us are the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. It's through suffering that we really learn about God, because it's just like a child. When they're suffering, they like to be independent, but if they fall down and cut their knee, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, help me.
Yeah.
And through suffering, we're brought back to God. And you mentioned something earlier, that through your actions and your witness, people see in you something different than they normally see in human beings because of your attitude towards reality. And that will cause them to ask you questions. Why do you think this way? Etc. And then you mention the gospel. But then, of course, they go, but look at all these other problems in the Bible. Just ignore that and just keep saying the word of the gospel, and let the Holy Spirit take over. It certainly seemed like that happened when we met with the writer, actors, etc. For them to change that movie, because I know some of the stuff that was in it before, that was the work of the Holy Spirit.
It took some time, though.
Well,
yeah.
It took...
You take the information, you got to process.
That's right. That's right. And it's the Holy Spirit who can help you process that in such a way that it gives you a totally different attitude on your reality and how you perceive things and perceive people. I've always, you know, appreciated how much you really, you call it your emotional side, but you really do care for people. And that's a part of the Holy Spirit in you.
I don't know. I wish I cared less, to be honest. It'd be a lot easier.
Well, of course it is. But remember, Jesus wept twice. Do you remember the two times? The one time was over the death of Lazarus.
Yes.
But the other time was over Jerusalem, because they would not. He wanted to gather them as a hen gathers the chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And he wept because they refused to do that.
Right.
And yet a whole town in Samaria became converted.
Right.
So we're back to that question, why some and not others? But it's not to be answered by us. We're just God's voice. We say it, and the Holy Spirit works through that and brings people to faith and has them even change a movie. And, you know, even though the things was already filmed, they come back and they're willing to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, just simply by speaking.
Yeah.
So your task when you return to California is just to convert the whole state.
I've been trying a really long time. It's very exhausting.
But I think you can do it through movie, too.
It's really hard.
You know how many people, when they heard the pastor say to him, "What can I do to get Jesus?" He said, "You don't have to do anything. God's done everything." That's huge. And you don't know how many people that responded to. And so when they read their Bible now, they see that everywhere, which they may not have seen until this movie came out.
That's true. That's actually really true.
So I see God putting you there to produce movies that would be worthwhile from a gospel point of view. And just once more, give one more ingredient into the mind of somebody so they start rethinking. We didn't take calls today because I knew we'd, Chrisann just never keeps quiet. So tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, and we will take calls on this and anything else that we spoke about or any theological question at all that you have on your mind. You're going to be here for about a month, aren't you?
Yep.
Maybe we can have you back on again.
I'd love it.
Yeah, if it doesn't rain. Okay, I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.